To get up and get your day started.
Get up! Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports 56 Mornings on this Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you. We're live and local, broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. The Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo continues now through May 10th. Take advantage of all types of different brands, seven manufacturers, all fighting for your business at Family Leisure. 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. As Mr. Announcer Man said, the first hour of the program is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery. Made in Memphis, 150 years in the making, starting with the Canale family's arrival in Memphis. The revival began in 2017 when the doors opened to the public. Just a great place to go and have a cocktail. Take a tour of the distillery, a guided tour and tasting. OldDominic.com is the website. Hope a lot of folks got out there to the Memphis Zoo for the Roar and Pour event. Old Dominic Distillery, one of the big sponsors there. Hopefully you enjoyed some of the cocktails from Old Dominic Distillery. Again, the first hour sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings. Had some wicked weather roll through last night and overnight hours, and looks like we may get some more later this afternoon. Right now, 67 degrees. We're looking at a high of 79, mostly cloudy and humid, breezy with strong thunderstorms possible. Storms can bring flooding, downpours, hail, damaging wind gusts, and an isolated tornado. And then tonight, more of the same with a low of 64 degrees. And then it's going to get really nice once the storms pass through. We will have 72 degrees on Wednesday. Mostly sunny skies. Should be an absolutely beautiful day Wednesday and Thursday before some more rain in the forecast on Friday. Coming up on the program today, the Memphis Tigers have added a couple of players to their men's basketball roster. We'll talk about that and others that could be following as the roster is taking shape. We'll talk plenty of NBA with the NBA playoffs. Three games last night, one series wraps up, and you have one guess who that team is that advances. Yes, it is the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll talk about a Grizzlies reunion in Orlando as well. We had big news that happened after Eli and Jay Ham wrapped up the show yesterday as I was off, and that is the Brendan Sorsby news, the former Cincinnati quarterback who transferred to Texas Tech, a reported $5 million. But he is in a bit of a pickle with gambling and now is in gambling rehab. We'll talk about that on the program today. Some other things as well, including some changes coming to the NBA lottery. Also, NFL draft grades. I know Eli spoke a lot about that yesterday. Got a little bit more on that today. We got Humdinger's Trivia. That'll come your way just after the top of the hour break in hour number two. Kerry Talley at 8:25. He is the former owner. He is the former standout MLS player, MLS champion. Won a title with the DC United. Now he's one of the owners. His group is the owners of Memphis FC, who will be playing in the USL League 2. So a new soccer team that will play out at Mike Rose Soccer Complex. We'll talk to him about that. At 9:05, Mickey Barker in our weekly golf segment. We'll also be joined by one of his friends, Bruno Straka, friend of the show, who is the golf administrator at Audubon. And then at 9:30, former NASCAR driver and broadcaster Kyle Petty will be joining us on the program. His 30th anniversary charity motorcycle ride across America will roll through Memphis on Thursday. Make that on Wednesday, May 6th. We'll talk to Kyle about that. We'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. That is your lineup, a jam-packed show for this Tuesday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic.
I know a lot of NFL talk over the weekend. By the way, how did you think your Cowboys did?
Well, they got my guy. That's all that mattered. After that, it was all icing on the cake. They got a lot of defenders, which is what I was hoping for, but Once they got Caleb Downs, it was pure joy.
We were talking while watching the draft on Thursday night, and the way things were shaping out, I said, well, my partner's going to have his guy. Caleb Downs is going to be right there for the Cowboys, and he was, so congratulations on that. I know there's a lot of talk coming in on the national show on Fox Radio about George Pickens and what happens with him. He hasn't signed the tender. I don't know. It's kind of confusing. Do you think he ends up with the team again, or does he get traded?
Well, it sounds as if he is would either if they're not going to do a long-term contract, which they have said they are not, he would prefer a trade, whether they decide to have a standoff with him and basically call him on that or not, we shall see. My guess would be if that's the way it's going to be, that they probably end up trading him.
I thought I was going to miss most of the draft. I ended up watching round one on Thursday. I watched rounds two and three on Friday. Congratulations to Jake Golday, friend of the show, the former Arlington High School standout who went in the second round of the draft. I did miss, though, the draft on Saturday, rounds four through seven. Me and Mike Vrabel had to both miss, unfortunately, Saturday's activities. Jay Hamm, how are you?
I'm pretty good, and as soon as you mentioned that Vrabel, I thought about that tweet that I sent you.
I know.
From Harden, which was a great line. Me and Darian looked at each other like, we didn't think about that one. That was a good one, John.
It was a good one. I still don't get it. I still don't understand why he had to be away from the team for rounds four through seven and couldn't wait until Sunday or Monday. He's back with the team now, so that was a quick rehab.
Very quick rehab, and I just wonder how much of the progress was actually gained from this rehab therapy deal that he's going through. So
exactly, and then you wonder how important rounds four through seven of the draft were. The Patriots should know better than anybody about picking somebody late and then turning into a pretty good player.
They found a lot of good money on that back end of the draft.
Tom Brady wasn't too bad in the sixth round. All right, so anyway, the draft over with, and plenty of NFL talk coming up in the weeks and months with the OTAs, the rookie mini camps, and some local players that were not drafted have signed free agent deals. Doesn't mean they'll make the team, but certainly we wish them all well. And certainly for the Memphis Tigers to be able to have a player picked, that's always good. It wasn't really big for the group of five, now the group of six, as far as players that were chosen in the draft. It was, as you would imagine, Power 5 or Power 4 hungry and Power 4 loaded. But for Travis Burke to go from Memphis, he went pretty early. That was nice to see. But only, I think it was six American Conference players, Eli, is that correct? I think there were six total that were selected.
I don't even think it was that bad. I think it was three or four.
Yeah, it may have been four then. I wasn't sure if it was six or four. But yeah, it may have only been four players selected. But tells you shows you the disparity between the power and the not-so-power, let's just put it that way. Yesterday, good day for the University of Memphis as two more players were added by Penny Hardaway and his staff. First of all, they got their point guard for the 2026-2027 season. It is Jaden Reed, 5'10 senior. He's out of Westbury, New York. He played three seasons at Northwestern this past year, averaged 10.1 points, five assists per game. He is a pass-first point guard. What have I always said, right? I've said it a million times with my three players to start your team. Number one is a point guard who thinks pass-first but still can shoot, has great handles, which Jaden Reed has, and shoots free throws at a high percentage, which he does. He shoots 82% from the free throw line. He's about a 32% three-point shooter, 31.7 to be exact. I don't love that he's 5'11". It's another diminutive point guard. Last year didn't work out real well with Doug McDaniel, but it has worked out before with Kendrick Davis. But he's a veteran guy, Eli. They went out, they got he's their quarterback, and they went out and they got a veteran player, and they got him from the Big Ten.
Well, he played 1 year at Northwestern. He played 2 years at South Florida.
Excuse me. That's right. 1 year at Northwestern. Those were his numbers that I mentioned. And then started right in the American Conference in South Florida.
So he knows the American Conference. He's been in the American Conference. Yeah, I mean, he looks, you look at some of the numbers, he's got a very high assist rate. Last year, he was top 20 in the country in assist rate at Northwestern. So you like to see that. Certainly a guy who can facilitate and distribute. Like to see that 3-point percentage up. But the thing is, now while he shot, he only shot 32% basically last year. Mm-hmm. At South Florida in 2025, on more attempts, he shot 37%. So he's got the ability to shoot the basketball as well. A little bit. You mentioned the free throw shooting, a good free throw shooter. So he certainly has the ability to shoot the basketball. So yeah, there's a lot to like, I think, about just the numbers when you look at them for Jaden Reed, and having been in the Big Ten, obviously we know how good that conference was in basketball, and being a point guard in the Big Ten, that looks like a guy who should be able to come in here to Memphis and be productive in the American Conference, that's for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because at South Florida, perhaps he was needed to score more, and maybe at Northwestern, not like they were a juggernaut, but maybe he didn't have to shoot the ball that much. They wanted him more as the facilitator, which he was, like you said, great assist-to-turnover ratio. Who knows what he'll have to do at Memphis, but I would imagine they brought him in because of he's a veteran player, he's a leader. They know him from the days of South Florida, but they also know that he is a facilitator. He is a pass-first guy to get the offense in motion, to get the offense moving. And then if he has to sit there and take a shot and make a shot, he can do that as well. So, again, I'm not enamored with the smaller guards, but I do love the fact that he fits and checks every list for my point guard, for the point guard I would want. And Memphis has done that. They feel good about Jaden Reed. Then later in the day, they picked up a guy who was at SEMO last year, Southeast Missouri State, guy by the name of Luke Almodovar, who is a first-team All-OVC performer, a 14-point-per-game scorer, 3.7 rebounds per game. His first year, I believe he was with an NAIA school. It was called St. Francis out of Indiana. And went to SEMO, so took the step up, performed admirably. Memphis likes the fact that here's another shooter, here's a playmaker, and a guy who they think can fit right into the offense they want to run. So two players added to the roster yesterday. What do you think about that pickup?
Well, he is you watch his highlight reels. I mean, he is a freakish athlete. It's pretty impressive. He had the one dunk last year that was a viral dunk.
Oh, gosh, that
was crazy. Obviously could score the basketball a little bit, averaging 14 a game. He was at St. Francis in the NAIA, he was a big time scorer in his time there. Spent 2 years there. He shot 41% when he was there from 3-point range. 3-point numbers went down a little bit last year, but hopefully he can. I think he has the ability to shoot. He was nearly 32%, something like that around there. But again, he is one that was very good last year in not turning the basketball over really at all when he was at SEMO. So certainly guys who've averaged 14 points per game. Have freakish athletic ability. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That ain't going to hurt you.
So with those two additions, Memphis is now up to 10 players. If I'm correct about that, I think I am. 15 obviously is the max. You don't have to go max, but they still have to address the bigs. And that right now is a glaring weakness. They've done two of the three things I need them to do, or I need any team to do. Again, my philosophy. The point guard fits everything I was talking about. Then you got to go out and you got to get shooters. And they have done a pretty good job. I think they still need another shooter, another three-point shooter. But they have addressed that with a couple of guys who are three-point shooters. Now, one in Pounds, the local kid, may be a ways away from playing. But Bavers, who they brought in from Washington State, is a deadly three-point shooter, and they got a couple other guys. I would love to see one more. The bigs right now, though, that is something that is a glaring weakness. And a player that has come up that is on the radar is a guy by the name of Ega Demir, Oregon, 6'10", who's got a huge wingspan, 7'3", big guy who obviously played in the Big Ten. That's somebody, I'm sure there's others that they're looking at from a big standpoint. Also, the scorer from Southern Miss, Weeks, Tylik Weeks, they are in with him. Doesn't mean that he will commit, but I think they feel pretty good that they might be able to get him. He is another scorer. So I'm looking at, look, if they can get the Weeks kid, that would be 11. And now I would love one more shooter for them. And then you have to go the rest bigs, and you got to get this kid. Hopefully, it would work out with him. I don't know a lot about him, I'll be honest with you. I just know his particulars, his specifics, again, the size and the wingspan. But right now, that's the glaring weakness of this team to this point. But they're not done. They're putting it together. It is harder to get efficient bigs. You talked about it a couple of weeks ago with the numbers. How much money you need to spend to get a legitimate big in college as opposed to any other position, including point guard?
Well, there's still you got Cornelius Williams, who they're still, I guess, waiting on as well.
How tall is he?
He's like 6'9" or whatever. And, I mean, he was a rebounding machine.
Right.
So, I mean, the Demir kid screams last year, we're going to add seven-footers to add seven-footers. They can't play a lick, but boy, we're going to add seven-footers.
So you're not really enamored with him?
Well, he did nothing. I mean, I don't know. Like, he did nothing in Oregon. Like, so I don't know what to, like, I can't take anything out of what he did. He didn't do anything. Like, so, like, whatever. Like, just because he's stepping down, again, doesn't mean it's something of good. It screams a lot of last year of, hey, we added a seven-footer. Great. Won't be able to play for you, but he's 7 feet. He'll look great getting off the bus. No. Let him get off the bus first.
To me, look.
If he can get Weeks, they need a score. They need a big-time score. Penny needs a big-time score. They don't have that right now on this team. His teams have been better where they've got a guy they could just give the basketball to and go score. They don't have that right now. They need Weeks.
Well, hopefully the combination of Cummings, Vavers,
He needs a guy who he can give the basketball to that go get a bucket. Mm-hmm. They don't have that right now. Weeks can be that guy.
Okay.
And then they need a big. And Williams, certainly, again, if they could get him. Again, I don't know what their chances are with, you know, Weeks. I guess it's them and Ole Miss. It seems like everybody says it's down to those two. I don't know. You know, at this point, if he hasn't committed to either one of those, he might be waiting or talking to other teams, hoping there's extra money somewhere else out there that somebody else will come in with. And certainly the Williams kid, I don't know for sure as far as where that stands either.
Well, let's be honest here. The way it's going now in collegiate sports, if Memphis was to get Weeks over Ole Miss, that's a huge upset. Back in the day, it was nothing. Memphis would always out-duel Ole Miss for a basketball player. 9 out of 10 times. But the world has changed. And collegiate sports has really changed. And what they're probably able to offer, and I don't know what the numbers are, I don't know what the particulars are, but if they really want him, they can get him. I'm talking about Ole Miss from a financial standpoint. Maybe they're, okay, we'd like to add him. Maybe the role for him there would not be as demonstrative as it would be for Memphis, who, like you said, needs a scorer, and he could be that A option. Maybe he's a C option at Ole Miss. But still, I think when it comes down to it, these players look at cha-ching over anything, even playing time. They don't really realize it right away. I don't think they look at every single thing and the benefits of every single thing. Certainly with you know, Haggerty, it didn't matter because he went to Kansas State and he played. And he starred for a team that was bad. People made a big deal about the team being bad. Well, Memphis was bad too. It really made no difference with him. It's about whether or not they're going to be able to cash in. Cash in on their name, image, likeness. That's what it's all about. And if Ole Miss wants to get a guy over Memphis or any of the group of six, they're going to be able to do that. So we'll see. If Memphis gets it, upset. But then again, you don't know what Ole Miss is saying to him, what Memphis is saying to him.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the priority. Is like, and the reason he maybe hasn't committed yet is maybe Ole Miss is saying, listen, we've got some other stuff. If this doesn't happen, that will free up more money that we could give to you, whatever. Right. I mean, that might be why he's waiting is, you know, he's down the list for them. But if things don't work out with some other guys, maybe then they say, hey, we've got another whatever for you. If you can be patient and wait, we can let you know. But, you know, right now, this is what we've got. We don't know what we'll have down the road to offer you.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. But the big, to me, has to be, what do I always say? Give me that physical, give me the blockhead, man, that goes in there and moves you out of the paint. If he scores, that's fine. He's got pretty good hands. He'll dunk and, you know, maybe hit a little hook shot or something. But he is a defensive stalwart who's physically going to manhandle you. That's what I want to see in my physical big. That's the third part. The rest you fill in.
And as soon as you said that, I thought about Crevis going back to Arizona. Yes. I'm like, that's the type of cat that
yes.
you're looking for.
Absolutely, who's actually a pretty decent offensive player, too.
And I'm saying that low maintenance, still, you don't have to do a whole lot for him, but when you do something for him, he can take care of it.
That's a good comparison. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, man, Memphis with that second, the Grizzlies, not the Tigers, the Grizzlies with that, you know, if you get to one of the guards and then you want one of those bigs, I love Crevis. Now he's going back to college. But that's the money thing. That's the money factor, right? Hey, I can wait another year. I'll make my $2-3 million, whatever Arizona's going to pay me. But they have that type of money. Memphis doesn't. But I think what they're doing with Gabriel Harris, the new general manager, and Penny and the rest of the staff is they're slowly but surely putting together this team. But it's just, it's so much harder now than it was, where you're able to just get a player because of who Penny Hardaway is. But Eli's right. They need that scorer. I think they need another three-point shooter, but they need the rest. The other two, three guys that they get, they have to be bigs. Get me two physical. Again, I don't care if they score. And then, yeah, it's a project with the guy from Oregon, but he has the size. Like you said, last year they went slap happy at the very end, bringing in these seven-footers. And you called it pretty well. You said that I don't see much. Now, I think Majok will turn into a pretty decent collegiate player. You know, Bradshaw, we'll see what ends up happening with him. It has not worked to this point. And then a couple of the other guys just were not, you know, they weren't the material that Memphis needed. They got to be physical. You got to play. We saw it in the tournament, but especially in the Final Four. My gosh, Florida's got the bigs back. How good will they be? Michigan will replace some of the guys they lose, but they got guys back. St. John's got guys back. UConn's got guys back. Arizona, we just talked about, guys back. Because they can financially afford and they are fine waiting another year to go to the NBA. In years past, boom, they're gone. They're going right to the NBA. They're throwing their name in the hat for the NBA.
Well, we just saw that. I mean, the NBA just released the list. There were only 71 early entrants, and one of them has already withdrawn in Elijah Arenas. So they're down to 70 early entrants, which is the fewest since 2003, I believe it is. I mean, there was a, I don't remember what year it was, but the high number got up to 360-something at one point, I believe it was. So you're talking, obviously, the NIL effect and having a huge effect that these guys are willing to stay the extra year or however many years at the college level to get paid and try and improve their stock. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's to see that low of a number is pretty amazing.
Right.
You know, obviously, they're not all getting drafted anyway, but and there will be still some that withdraw out of that group that is currently committed to that. So we'll see what the total number ends up being that actually stay in the draft. But that's a crazy low number from what we used to see with early entrance into the draft.
Right. But a good day yesterday. Good way to start the week for the University of Memphis. Good way to maybe wrap up your day as a cocktail from Old Dominic Distillery. Again, the first hour sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings, located at 305 South Front Street. Just a really cool bar. The Distillery Bar is fantastic. Award-winning craft spirits. Swing by for a pre-game or pre-dinner cocktail and then cap it off with a nightcap, right? Producing Tennessee whiskey, bourbon whiskey, the vodka, the Honeybell citrus is terrific. Formula 10 gin. It is local. It is ours. It is Old Dominic Distillery. Thursday's happy hour, 4 to 7. $7 cocktails made with signature spirits. $4 local beers at Old Dominic Distillery.
We talked yesterday about Juke Harris, and there was another report yesterday that Tennessee is definitely the leader on him. Again, he is going through the draft process, but it does seem as though that he is the thought is he is going to go back to college, and that it will be Tennessee that ends up getting Juke Harris.
Rick Barnes, once again, putting together a great class, whether they are the high school kids coming out or the transfer portal guys, one of the top classes in all the country. We'll take a break. Just getting underway on a Tuesday. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 at 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 7:30 is the time. If you haven't fully woken up yet, that'll wake you up. Little AC/DC at 7:30 in the morning. Congratulations to Cooper Flagg. He is the NBA Rookie of the Year. That was announced yesterday. A little bit tighter than maybe people thought, as Con Knepel had a great year in Charlotte. Cooper Flagg with 412 total votes. Con Knepel, 386. The first place votes, though, Flagg got 56. Con Knepel got 44. They vote with either first place, second place, or third place. VJ Edgecombe of Philadelphia finished third. Dylan Harper of the Spurs, fourth. And our very own Cedric Coward of the Grizzlies finished fifth. Technically one third place vote. I wonder if any of our local friends like Drew Hill or DeMichael Cole have a vote in this thing, and did it come from them? But at least a little bit of recognition for Coward.
Yeah, good for him that he was able to get that vote. But it's interesting because there's a pretty wide belief that the appeals by Luka Doncic and Cade Cunningham hurt Con Knepel in this voting, because the votes should have been in before the play-in. But because of those appeals, the play-in games happened, and Con Knepel had the terrible game, and some people may have changed their vote based on that play-in game that should never have actually been played by the time they voted for Rookie of the Year.
Which they're not supposed to do. They're not supposed to do that. Have a little integrity if you do that.
But you watch that game, it's going to have an effect.
And a justification.
But
right.
It's one damn game. It's one day he had a bad game. Right. I think in the middle of the year, Fly got hurt, and all of a sudden everybody's talking about, how about this guy in Charlotte, Knepel? And everybody's watching him. He's hitting these threes and all that, and Fly's hurt. And we're thinking, because early it was could Edgecombe take over? Then it was, man, Con Knepel could win this thing. And then Flagg, when he got back, was like, boom. Had those – didn't he have a 50-point game?
Hey, the one weekend, right? A 46-point game.
Yeah. 50 and a 40.
Yeah, and I think at that weekend, forget it. He just took over. So, but it was close, and it was a good, really good rookie class, but good for Cedric Coward. Gets one third-place vote, but it's a third-place vote. He's in there at number five. Okay. Last night, three games. Let's get the easy one out of the way first. The Thunder beat the Suns in Phoenix 131-122. They sweep the series four games to love. No surprise for anybody. SGA, a ho-hum, 31. Chet Holmgren, 24-12. Isaiah Hartenstein, 18-11. Not all, but a lot of the focus is on SGA or Jalen Williams, J-A-L-I-N, the all-star Jalen Williams, who missed last night. But Holmgren and Hartenstein, what they do, putting together double-doubles, getting the rebounds, making it just one and done on shots each possession seemingly for the other team. They are the unsung heroes. And with the Suns, it's back to the drawing board. They'll need to make some moves in the offseason. But again, nobody expected anything less than the Thunder rolling over the Suns.
Well, Mark Daigneault does not lose first-round games. He's now 12-0. In the first round as their head coach.
Jeez.
That's what they do. If the Thunder shoot 50% from three-point range, they will not lose. I will make that bold prediction. If they shoot 50% from 3-point range, they are not going to lose. I don't care who they play. And last night, A.J. Mitchell, and in there for Jalen Williams. He had the poor shooting game the other day. Last night, he shoots it well. 4-for-6 from three. He goes for 22. You mentioned the production from the bigs. I mean, it's just, yeah. And Caruso off the bench had a nice game. So he was 4-for-6 from three. When you get those guys knocking down threes, it's they become a really hard team to try and defend.
What is the status of Jalen Williams moving forward?
Week to week.
Okay. Has there ever been a team that rolled through the playoffs? And I'm not talking about way back when there was like a two round. I'm talking about the way the format is now. Has there ever been a team that did not lose a game?
No, nobody's ever went through it undefeated. No.
Nobody. So OKC, if they shoot 50% or more, Eli?
Well, they're not going to shoot 50% from three-point every game.
But they can still win games not shooting 50%.
Well, yeah, they do it all the time.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If anybody could do it, I'm not saying they're doing it, but if anybody could do it, it's that team.
And to his point, when they shoot the ball that well, then they come back on the other end and they lock you up.
Exactly.
It's just...
Oh, that's the thing that's more impressive to me. How good they are defensively.
Right.
I mean, most of those guys on that team are really good, which reminds me a lot of the Bulls teams. Because Michael was a good defender. Mm-hmm. Scottie was a great defender. And then, of course, you had Rodman and all the other guys that were just incredible. Okay. The Magic, in a low-scoring game, beat the Pistons again, 94-88. So they are 3-1 up in that series. And the number one seed in the East is on the brink of elimination. In that game in Orlando, Dez Bane, the former Grizzly, leading the way with 22 points. It was a Grizzly night because a big deal was made of Triple J and Ja Morant sitting front row supporting Dez Bane. And as Dez said after the game, 5 years together, we're the best of friends. We support each other. In the meantime, Cade Cunningham, 25 points, but only 7 of 23 from the field. Did have 9 rebounds, 6 assists, but he had 8 turnovers, and he kind of took the blame on himself of why they're in this position.
Which is very novel of him to do. It's a good deal. Some of it's really, I mean, what is going on the floor, that's on him. You got to control the basketball and the whole deal, but they lack another playmaker. Because all what Orlando's doing now is just boxing around Cade and making it tough for Cade. That's why you can't get Jalen involved. They brought in a guy like Kevin Herter to be a shooter, but he's not coming in and shooting. Duncan Robinson's not getting his shot off. They don't have any other source of offense.
Well, okay. That's the problem. Like, I mean, again, Durant, they got to get more out of Durant. Yeah. And he's not lucky to survive last night. He damn near got his life ended. That Jamal Cain dunk.
Ooh.
Oh, I mean, that was ridiculous. Like, yeah. Me too. Durant's a big guy. To send a guy that size to the floor by dunking on top of him like that was insane. One of the best dunks I have ever seen.
Absolutely.
Ever. Like that. Like, that's one that wins the dunk contest. If the dunk contest was, like, you got to dunk on people,
on somebody,
that 100% wins the dunk contest. That's how good that dunk was. I mean, it was incredible. Like, oh, gosh. Like, and for a guy that size. But that's the thing. I feel like Cunningham, because nobody else is doing anything, he's trying to do too much. Like, there was a possession. I don't remember. I think it was at the end of the third quarter. I don't remember what it was. But, like, he wouldn't pass the ball. Like, he kept dribbling, and, like, they kept running defenders at him, and he just refused to pass the ball. And he got in the lane and throws up some crazy shot. I'm like, but I think he's just like, I have to do it. Yep. And it's like, that's not going to work.
It's not going to work. And unfortunately, this is how those negative playoff narratives come about, because he's trying to overcompensate and do what he can as a star, but it's not meant for him to do.
Well, and to your point, those turnovers were like, just like, some of them are just like terrible. Like, the one, like, on a fast break, and he just throws it at a dude's feet. Yeah. Like, you're like, what are you doing? They're like, you're just running a fast break, for goodness sake. So some of that, but, like, other, like, you could just see he is forcing everything right
but
now.
But to your point, Jaham, about not having that secondary ball handler and playmaker, guys like Herter and Robinson, maybe Robinson can, to some extent, create their own shot. They need to be set up. And when they're set up and they're squared, they're knocking down threes. But they're not getting that. And then they're not getting the inside presence from Durant, who was dominant the whole year. It's funny. It's almost like they've been stuck in neutral once the postseason started.
Because they have something to neutralize them on the interior, and that's Wendell Carter.
Right. Wendell Carter's been great.
He's been a force.
Wendell Carter's been great, although you wonder where it was at the end of the year, and then in the play-in, they weren't good, and Orlando survives, and they get in. And they just weren't – they were not playing the way – all of a sudden, they get to this series, and they've taken it up a notch.
The matchup mattered when we got to this series.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like what happened in the regular, it's out the window. Now it's time to lock it in and go. And Orlando's defending fantastically, you know, just as a unit overall. And it's funny, though, because it's like we go back to that playmaker, and if Caris LeVert had not had the mileage on his body that he's had and been injured, that's his role. He could be that facilitator. It probably still wouldn't be good enough, but they wouldn't – I don't think it would be 3-1. It probably would be a 2-2 deal. And they still just they're dead to rights on offense.
Well, I bet this. I bet the front office is really wishing they would have tried to get Ayo Dosunmu.
Well, somebody tweeted and said, well, Jaden could have prayed us out of this, you know.
Ayo Dosunmu would look really good for Detroit right
it's
now
true.
As that guy. You know, it's funny because – and I don't think they did it. But with Orlando, everybody in the world knew you would rather play Detroit in the first round than Boston. So, like, it's just like, I think, like, I don't think they tried to lose the first play-in game on purpose, but it didn't hurt that they lost the first play-in game and won the second one. I mean, you would 100% would rather play Detroit than Boston.
Well, because they got the better matchup.
It's just the playoff experience, everything else about it. Like, anybody would look at that and at the end of the year tell you Boston was the better team than Detroit.
Yeah.
And so, for Orlando, not saying they did it on purpose, but it worked out pretty well to end up as the 8 rather than the 7.
Can't disagree with that at all. Just for the matchup purposes. And they're simply, for all of the huff and puff that Detroit puts about their toughness, when you bring that toughness to them, they fold.
Yeah. Well, it was cool, again, for Dez Bane to have Jaren Jackson Jr. and John Morant there supporting him. And, again, he led the way with 22 points.
The baked-in three was incredible. That was a...
That's when you knew it was their night.
Yeah, that's like it you know, his night, and that's two. You know, that's 12 made threes in the last two games. He's found that shooting stroke. He's got it going, and I mean, if they can get, you know, him again, you look at that last night. And granted, the Eastern Conference is trying to set basketball back to the peach basket days between the dumb Toronto Cleveland game and this game.
That's what happens in the postseason
when
the East
winning team shoots 33% from the field. But Paolo Banchero went 4 for 18 from the field, and Jalen Suggs went 1 for 13. They went combined 4 or 5 for 31 from the field, and Orlando won the damn game.
Right, right. Well, perhaps
I don't know what Suggs would do. Suggs would not quit shooting. I'll tell you what. That's a level of confidence that is unbelievable. He would not quit shooting. I'm like, dude, you can't make a shot. Stop.
Perhaps Orlando could follow the lead of the Red Sox and win the series, and then fire Jamal Moses like the Red Sox did over the weekend. Win 17-1, and then fire the whole staff.
Gotta go, dog.
I'm not saying the Red Sox were doing well and that it was unwarranted, but we know that Mosley's been the talk. One of the conversations about this guy will not be the head coach next year. And it looks like a good chance that they will advance. Still got to win one more. I don't know if Detroit can find what they're looking for, but they are missing out on what they showed everybody during the regular season. And then finally, you had the nightcap where the Nuggets, down 3-1 in their series to the Timberwolves, get the win. They stave off elimination, 125-113. Nikola Jokic, who's been criticized because Gobert's done a good job on him, did have a big game, 27 points, 16 assists, 12 rebounds. Julius Randle led Minnesota with 23. He added 9 rebounds, 6 assists, did turn it over 5 times. But, of course, the big story is Anthony Edwards, who will miss multiple weeks with a hyperextended left knee. Could have been worse, but it's still bad. Will Denver come back and win this thing down 3-1?
We talked about it yesterday. I mean, it's a hard situation on Minnesota. I mean, I think you're at this point probably have to win the next game. You don't want to go back to Denver. And I don't know, without DiVincenzo, without Edwards. But it goes back to what we talked about yesterday. Jokic and Murray doing their thing. Now, Jokic was much more efficient last night than he's been. But it's who else can they get anybody else to score? Well, Spencer Jones and Cam Johnson combined for 38 points. If they get that out of Spencer Jones, That's a different Denver team.
Yeah.
And Cam Johnson was aggressive early. He was scoring. I mean, you get Jonas off the bench with 9, Bruce Brown off the bench with 7. Like, they actually got – those two guys got some help, and it makes it a little easier on Jokic if he's not the only guy that's able to score.
Yeah. Tonight we got 3 games. Sixers, Celtics, and Boston. Boston up 3-1 probably will end it, even though Embiid returned to Philadelphia in Game 4 didn't matter. Hawks, Knicks, 2-2. That scene shifts to the Garden in New York. And the Trailblazers and Spurs. Spurs up 3-1, trying to wrap it up at home in San Antonio. So what do you think, guys? Celtics, Spurs, do they both advance tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a wrap on both of those.
And then the Knicks, what do you think? They jump back, take the lead on Atlanta? It's been a tough series.
I think they get the lead back, and I hope we get a dogfight out of it.
Probably will.
As opposed to that, what we got Saturday evening. That was just a rout city.
It was, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Atlanta's shown some life, certainly, and winning 2 games on the Knicks. Now, the Knicks are a little bit ornery, I would think. And, you know, they lost already 1 at Madison Square Garden, but I would think that tonight they would take the lead in the series.
Don't give me another Eastern Conference team winning, shooting 33% from the field, though. I'm tired of watching those games. That's putrid stuff.
James Naismith is smiling somewhere. Somewhere in heaven, he smiled.
Or some 1990s NBA fans. That's what that draw back to.
Town Village Audubon Park is senior living in today's world, located at 950 Cherry Road, just off Park Avenue, offering more options to fit your needs more than ever before. Dedicated to the long-term satisfaction and the quality of life for their residents. All they ask is that you're 55 years of age or older. So if you're looking at your golden years or the golden years of a loved one, look at Town Village Audubon Park. Call them at 901-537-0002. Set up a tour. Or if you have any questions, they'll answer them for you. Go online. You can find out the answers to many questions also online at townvillageautomanpark.com. Independent living, short-term respite stay, monthly options, maybe the way to go. Everything you need to continue to enjoy life to its fullest is there at Town Village Audubon Park, including basic services like monthly rental with no buy-in. Apartments include full kitchen, washer, and dryer, all-inclusive resort-style dining with multiple venues, bi-weekly housekeeping and outpatient therapy, and the community amenities. They have a social area with a fitness center, home theater, indoor pool, whirlpool, fruit stand, bistro, 24-hour pantry, beauty salon, library, computer center, and so much more, plus 5 landscape courtyards, residential gardening areas, recreational, religious, social, and wellness activities, a dog park, and gated parking for your safety. What else can you ask for? They have it all at Town Village Audubon Park, 950 Cherry Road, just off Park Avenue in the heart of East Memphis, 901-537-0002 or online at townvillageaudubonpark.com. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment here in hour number 1. Hour 2 will open up with Humdinger's Trivia. Kerry Talley's going to join us at 8:25. He's the owner, his ownership group of the Memphis FC soccer team, which will play in USL League 2. We'll also be talking in hour 2 about the Brendan Sorsby story from yesterday. The Texas Tech quarterback got a reported $5 million to transfer from Cincinnati to Texas Tech and now is in rehab for a gambling addiction.
Couple of text messages here on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 901-360-8255. That's 360-8255. Ryan texts in, says, Desmond Bane, and to think people were rooting for Orlando to not make the playoffs. Boo! I was really loving the Grizzlies. Now more and more, I am Orlando. And he throws in a go Luke and Desmond. So I guess he's rooting for the Lakers as well, but... Well, the people rooting for the Orlando to miss the playoffs had nothing to do with Desmond Bane. It was that the Grizzlies, they wanted the Grizzlies to get the second lottery pick. Nothing personal against Desmond Bane. I think most people in Memphis, probably Grizzlies fans, are rooting for Desmond Bane. I think I don't know that anybody disliked Desmond Bane if you're a Grizzlies fan.
Beloved. Desmond Bane was beloved, and they're rooting for Desmond Bane. But you said it exactly. Why they were rooting against Orlando was for the Grizzlies. Now, is he totally leaving the Grizzlies as a fan? Or is he just rooting for Orlando because of Dez and then Luke in L.A.? Hopefully he doesn't leave the fandom of the Grizzlies.
He can do what he wants.
He can do what he wants. It's his prerogative, but maybe he was just a big Dez Bane fan.
Dennis texted, said, talking about the Tigers, what they need as far as bigs is another Musa. Musa was raw, but he did what Greg's hoping for, block shots and rebound. I don't remember seeing him take a jump shot. Eli's correct also. Don't just get a big for the sake of a warm body. And like he said, Penny excels when he has a player that can, you can give the ball and everybody get the hell out of the way. Weeks, come on down.
Think about that combination. They had Dane Danger and Musa Cisse on the team. And, yeah, we were looking at Musa, okay, well, you know, he's bounced around Oklahoma State, back to Memphis, played at Ole Miss. He's got pretty much bad hands. And then all of a sudden, you're like, fast forward to the NBA season, he's playing for, what, Mavericks?
He was with the Mavericks, yes.
Yeah, yeah, all of a sudden, Musa's playing with the Mavericks, and Dane Danger is in the G League, but I think he'll have a chance in the NBA. And those two guys were playing together on that Memphis team. But Musa knew his role, as Dennis said. Block shots, be physical, just give me one of those. He wasn't as nasty as I'd like. I mean, he's pretty, but he's playing in the NBA, for goodness sake. So give him his credit.
The Weeks is interesting because, you know, again, he certainly is a big-time scorer. I mean, he found a way to score the basketball. And I mean, the dude got to the free throw line a ton. That's the big thing. Like he does not shoot threes. He can't shoot threes. Dude shot 265 free throws this year.
Well,
which is an insane amount of free throws.
David Jones would get to the free throw line, but he was also knocking down threes, mid-range jumpers. This guy's more of a, you know, take it to the hole, mid-range jumper guy. He's not the greatest shooter, but he does, like you said, force his way to the free throw line, and he's a scorer. And that's what you want. I don't care how you score, just score.
It's if you can average 20 a game, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, like you have the ability to score. Be interesting to see. You'd think people would just back off of him and say, like, you're going to have to shoot it. But he finds a way through aggression, whatever. He gets to the rim. He gets to the free throw line. You know, he only shot 53 threes all year. Only shot 22% on those. So he's not a three-point shooter at all, but he finds a way to score. And there's something to be said for that if you can just have the ability to score.
I got a text, and I'm not going to tell you from who, and I don't know if there's truth to this, but they say Ole Miss moved on from Weeks. Can't shoot well enough. If they literally have moved on, then I expect Memphis to have him. Signed, sealed, and delivered sometime this week, if that's the case.
All of the reporting out there was that it was down to Memphis and Ole Miss. So if Ole Miss has moved on to others or whatever, then you would expect that, yes, he would end up at Memphis. If it comes down to two and one removes itself, I like the chances of the other.
Speaking of Ole Miss, former Ole Miss star player, assistant coach, head coach, friend of the show, great guy, Rod Barnes, has another head coaching gig, although it's in the junior college realm. That's a basketball coach. You just want to coach ball. Rod named the head coach of Itawamba Community College in Mississippi. Just a standout human being. Also, some local ties to Memphis with Tony Barbie, the former assistant coach under John Calipari, who became a head coach at a number of different stops, including Auburn. He is now the new associate head coach at Murray State. So he's going to be Ryan Miller's right-hand man. There's that full Memphis connection with the Murray State Racers. Tony Barbie joining Ryan Miller's staff. Also, we don't have a ton of time here, but the Athletic reporting that, and this is the NBA and the whole tanking thing, gaining momentum to expand the lottery to 18 teams. This was one of the three of the possibilities when Adam Silver talked about it the first time about tanking, that they looked at these things. And one of them was the expansion to 18 teams and flatten the odds, meaning the bottom 10 would all have an 8% chance of landing the number one pick. The remaining odds, which is 20%, would be divided among the remaining eight teams. So you'd have 18 teams that would be involved. And again, if you flatten the odds, what are you trying to lose for when the bottom 10 would all have the same exact chance of landing the number one pick?
Folks, whether you're buying or selling or just want a fast cash offer on your home, give Bubba Sandifer at Emmett Baird Realty a call. 901-319-0747. If you're looking to buy Bubba, make sure he helps you find that perfect home for you and your family. If you're thinking about selling, well, he will make sure you get the maximum exposure, finds you serious buyers, gets you top dollar. But maybe it is you just want to get rid of it quickly, and he will buy it as is for cash as well. So whatever you're looking for, you're always going to win when you go with Bubba Sandifer at Emmett Baird Realty. Again, 901-319-0747, 901-319-0747. Buying or selling, go with Bubba, Bubba Sandifer at Emmett Baird Realty.
Hour two on the way. We'll open up with Humdinger's Trivia, and then we'll dive into this Brendan Sorsby story. That'll be followed at 8:25 by Kerry Talley. In hour three, Mickey Barker joins us. Kyle Petty at 9:30. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.